Well, it is a blessing to be here. Again, my name is Eddie Riggs, and I can say proudly I finished my first year at school, and what a blessing that was, and just 3 more years to go, but I know that the Lord will get me through it. Again, it is a blessing, and I thank you, Uncle Rusty, for having me preach. Again, we're down here celebrating Savannah's wedding, and we're so happy for her, so proud of her. But yesterday I was at my uncle's house, and he asked me, I woke up, and he said, Eddie, you're going to preach Sunday night. I was like, okay. So I wasn't prepared for that, but luckily I had all my some of my stuff to where I can print out my messages. But if you will, I'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, it's a blessing to be here. Thank you to my uncle again. It's always great to be able to preach and be able to talk about my Savior. And I love him dearly and what he did for me and dying on the cross for my sins so that I might have everlasting life. Amen. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be looking at verses 19. Verse 19. Get there myself. It says right here, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men most miserable. Today I want to talk to you about what hope is there. What hope do we have in the future as Christians, as servants of God? We can see all around things that are happening, wicked things, and we kind of tell ourselves, what hope do we have? We can see we continue to serve and serve and serve, and there's going to be times where we go through trials and tribulations, and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be always fun. It's going to be tiring. But there's a reason why we have hope. And according to the Webster Dictionary, hope is a confident anticipation of a good outcome. We use hope a lot. I'm sure here, I bet everybody here is a big football fans. You know, I hope my team wins this year. I don't know about the Razorbacks, but we can always hope for that. But we always hope. You know, I'm a big hunter. I love going out hunting and fishing. I love always doing that stuff. And I hope this fall I can shoot a big buck. But I live in Florida, so I don't know if that's possible. But I hope so. There's always hope for that. But we see this hope is based on the promises of God. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians just right over. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And it says here, chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. We can see here God promises that hope will come. We can see here we're waiting on the blessed hope is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's not done with us. He hasn't forgotten about us. We have faith in that. We know that our Lord is going to come back. We can see throughout the Scripture, God, all these promises that He gives us and the promise of Him coming back, the blessed hope. Amen. If you would go to Titus chapter 2, verse 15. It's right over to your right. Titus chapter 2. You're looking at verses 15. Again, the blessed hope is that the Lord Jesus Christ will come in our lifetime. God says that He is coming back for His children. And we can see here in verse 15 of chapter 2, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. As we go out today, as my Uncle Rusty told earlier, I love soul winning. It's something that I desire. I just love talking to people. You can ask my mother, sadly she's not here, but as a young fellow, I'd be in the grocery store and I'd be in those little cart basket. And my mom would be strolling around getting groceries, and I would talk to people. I would say, hey, you. Yeah. You know, I'd get their attention. I love it. You know, I love sitting down and talking about what Jesus Christ did for me. But we can see here, God speaks the truth in this Bible, God's word, His promise, and His promise says that God is coming back. Yeah. He's coming back. He hasn't forgotten about us. We can see here this is one of our fundamentals of our faith, the blessed hope. But it's not just that. We have, there's five of them. There's the book, the blood, the birth, the bodily resurrection, and the blessed hope. Amen. This is what we believe in. This is what we know that's true. Because we can see throughout the Scripture, God promises that He's coming back. He's not done with us yet. Right. We still have a plan and a purpose. And if you're still here breathing on this earth, God has a plan and a purpose for you. He's not done with us. But as we can see, as this as this world, as it's coming, we could see that hour is upon us now. We could see the last days are coming. We could see that sadly now in our country. If you would turn to 2 Timothy just to the left. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says this right here in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lay captive, silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We can see here, God talks about it in Scripture, and again, we can see it today. We can see how this world is becoming so wicked. When I think about it, I can think about Noah. You can think about how God says that he had to flood the earth and because the world was just so wicked. Yeah. And we can know how God created the rainbow and a symbol for his promise that he's never going to destroy the earth, and it's such a great symbol, but we can see this world took that symbol and used it for something that's such an abomination. Yeah. Yeah. God says that it's wrong. It's not right. And we can see this. We can see people. It's not popular, they say. It's not famous to be a Christian. It's not famous to serve the Lord. Why would you want to serve the Lord? I mean, what is he going to do for you? There's nothing that he can do for you. He's just a figment of your imagination. That's what people think. They think he's not true. He's not real. And you know, when I go out door knocking and people ask me, well, how do you know he's real? He lives within me. He lives in my heart. Amen. God says, I'm a new creature, he says. And that desire to serve him and to go out and to tell people. Just a knock on the door and say, sir, all I got to say is Jesus died for you, and I want to tell you what he did for me. Amen. We look at what is happening around this world and what is happening in America. The last days are coming, and we look around and we ask ourselves, what hope is there for us? We could see this earlier this morning, Uncle Russell. You were talking about a preacher being sent to jail for what we believe, for just going out and preaching the word. Dad, we were talking about this a couple months ago, and I was asking him, you know, there were some preachers up in Canada that got arrested for just simply preaching the word. And I was asking Dad, I said, Dad, you think later on if, you know, God still has me here and a plan for me to continue to preach, you think if I continue to preach, you think I'm going to get thrown in jail? And he says there's a big possibility of it. As we can see, this world is so wicked. But tonight I want to look at the difference between the rapture and the revelation. In chapter 4 of Revelation, I'm not going to go there, but in Revelation chapter 4, God is talking about how he's coming for us. We can see that blessed hope that he's coming for us and that we have hope in him. You know, I was just talking to my uncle about this, Uncle Rusty, in your office. My first semester of school, a lot of the professors, they preached a lot about the rapture. I tell you what, it was a blessing, it was good. But one thing they were saying, you know, if you, especially for the young guys out here, you know, we understand you want to get married, but that's not important, you know? That's not important. You'll be all right. I was sitting there, and I'll tell you what, they didn't get one amen from me. You know, it was such a good message, and I loved it, and I know that Jesus Christ is coming for me. I know when he comes, I'm going to be out of here just like that in a twinkling of an eye, he says. Man, I want to get married, though. I want to get married. Amen? Yeah. I assure you, young fellows, and even Julian, I know you're... I'm excited for it, man, but I hope he doesn't come. And, you know, if he does, praise the Lord, but I want to get married. But we can see the promise of the blessed hope. Jesus Christ is coming for us. We have hope in him. We have hope that he's going to come for us. He's not going to leave us. He hasn't forgot about us. And I know at times, especially in college, you know, there's times where I've doubted myself. I can't do this. It's too hard. I'm tired. It's just I didn't get a good grade on my test. How is the Lord going to use me? The devil's going to get to us and try to get us to think that there's no hope for us. Yeah. You know, especially as a young preacher, it's not easy. You know, the world looks at me and thinks I'm crazy for what I believe, but I know deep down that I'm doing what the Lord wants me to. And even if I have to stand alone, I'm still going to stand for Jesus Christ. But we can see he's coming for us. We have that blessed hope that we can rely on him, that he's going to come for us. But when he comes for us and we're up just like that, God says it's going to be before the tribulation. We won't be here. We can see the tribulation is the suffering of the world during that time. But God says that we won't be there. We'll be in heaven with him. Just like that. We won't have to go through the suffering of this world. You know, the world's going to mock us. They're going to make fun of us. But we know how the book ends. Amen. We know what God says at the end time. We have a blessed hope. And we can see we'll be gone before the tribulation. We can see in chapter Revelation, chapter 6 through 18, we can see the tribulation period and what's going to happen to the unbelievers. And we look at here the revelation, we can see in chapter 19, we can see that we're coming back with Jesus Christ. We're going to be right by his side. We're going to be with him. We're going to be with the most powerful leader that we'll ever know. We'll be back with him. We'll be coming back at the end of the tribulation. Again, we're not going to go through the suffering of this world. Again, tribulation is the suffering of this world during that time. But again, we won't be there. Amen. We'll be with Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, I want to give you 4 points. Tonight, I want to give you 4 points on hope we have in the future. Point one, we have a blessed hope. If you would go to Titus, just right over. Titus chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 13. And in verse 13, it says right here, looking for that blessed hope, again, Jesus Christ coming back, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We can see here that Jesus Christ says that we will be looking for that blessed hope that day that when he will come back for us. I can think of Paul in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. He talks about, in hopes of eternal life, that a God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God says that he cannot lie. He's perfect. And when God says he's coming back for us, he gives us a promise. We have hope. We know we can trust in him and believe in him and realize that he's coming back. But I want to give you a few things on we will one day be brought out of this wicked world and we will stand in front of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, when we are taken up from the rapture. Letter A right here, if you're taking notes. Again, number one, a blessed hope. And letter A right here, we will see his face. Amen. Amen. We will see his face. If you would turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, and we'll be looking at verses 4. In verse 4 it says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. I can't wait that day. Again, I can't comprehend it in my mind of what Jesus Christ exactly looks like. But I know one day, whether I pass away or I go up in the rapture, I know one day I'm going to be able to look at my Savior's face and see him. Again, we will see his face in Revelation as he's just talking about. We will see his face. B, again, it may be in our lifetime. I can't promise you. I can't say on a certain day at a certain time. I can't tell you when exactly he's coming. He never said in his word that there is a certain day he's coming, but I know he's coming because he talks about the blessed hope and that he's coming for his children. He hasn't forgotten about us. It may be in our lifetime. But either way, we're going to heaven. Whether we die or whether we get taken up, we're heaven bound. I know I am. And I praise God every day for that he saved me and I'm not going to hell. There's a song right here I want to sing, but I'm not going to sing it because it won't be a blessing. But it says right here, friends will be there I have loved long ago. I'm sure out in this crowd there's people that have lost family, friends, mothers, even children. I don't know. God says that if they're saved, we will see them again. Yeah. I can't say that. I haven't lost a family member yet. But I know by their testimonies that I know I won't have to worry about not seeing them again. Amen. There's a man, most of you probably won't know, but there's a man in our church named Larry Stephen. He was such a good man. He had a heart for the bus ministry. He was our bus director at a Starlight. He loved children. He just loved people. He was so much fun. He was great friends with my father and my grandfather and my uncles, and he loved our family, and we loved him, and he was such a blessing. But sadly, Larry passed away from COVID, sadly, about 2 years ago. But you know, I know that I know I won't have to worry about not seeing him again. Amen. We're going to see him in heaven. Amen. And again, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if you lost family members, but most likely there's a lot that have. And if you know that they're saving you, have faith in that, you don't have to worry because one day you will see him again. Amen. Friends will be there. I have loved long ago. We will see them. Throughout the song it says, joy like a river around me will flow. We will see, we will have joy, we'll be always happy, we will be in heaven with Jesus Christ, with our friends and our families. It's going to be a wonderful time, and you know, that one church member that's always sulky and sad, you know, you'll see him smiling in heaven one day. Wives, you might see your husband smile one day. Joy like a river around me will flow. We will be happy, we'll be rejoicing, and continue through the song. Yet just a smile from my Savior, I will know. Again, this kind of goes back to letter A. We will see his face. Just a smile from our Savior, we will know. Again, I can't comprehend it in my mind. I can't picture it, but I know one day I'm going to be able to stand in front of my Savior and just be able to fellowship with him and talk to him and know that he loves me and see that smile. A smile from the Savior, I will know. Will through the ages be glory for me. Again, I know it's a rough journey ahead of me. I know it's not always going to be fun. I know the ministry, it's hard. But I know that at the end, it'll be worth it. Yeah. I'll tell you this, young ones, it's worth serving the Lord. Amen. I know when I was much younger and stuff, especially, I started to preach when I was 12 years old. I know, especially in the youth group, a lot of kids, they weren't as passionate, nor did they want to serve the Lord because it wasn't cool. And I know there are some times where, throughout my youth group ages, I had to, grow up kind of lonely because I wanted to take it serious, and they didn't. But I know as I grow up, I don't regret not serving him. I don't regret it. And yes, there's been times in my life where it's been hard. I've cried. There's been times where I've really doubted. Why am I doing this? Why? I should just give up. You know, that's the devil. You know, a lot of people think when hard times come that it's all Jesus' fault. Lord, why would you do this? A lot of people, Christians, forget that there's a devil out there that likes to trick and get into people's minds and tell them that you're worth nothing. The Lord doesn't need you, nor does he want you. Will through the ages be glory for me. I know that as long as I keep serving the Lord, I know that once I'm heaven bound and I'm on my way to heaven and I stand in front of my Savior and just see that smile, I know it's going to be worth all the times that I went through hard times and tribulations to just be able to see a smile on my Savior's face. Again, number one, a blessed hope. And number two, if you're taking notes, a comforting hope. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians. We'll be looking at chapter 4. Chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 16 through 18. Again, we are looking, number 2, a comforting hope. It says right here in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Again, we can look at point one. We have a blessed hope. We know that we're going to go to heaven because God promises in his word. And if you know you're saved, you know you're on your way to heaven. There's nothing that you have to worry about. And God says right here, we have a comforting hope that we don't have to worry. I mean, go through your Christian life with confidence and know that there's nothing that people can do. You can't threaten me with heaven. I'm heaven bound. What are you going to do? I'm in my Savior. The Savior has me in His hands. He won't never leave me nor forsake me. We can see here, comfort one another with these words. Go out and tell people about what they can have and what Jesus Christ did for them. We can see here, there's a couple of things we will be delivered from. We delivered from many things. We can see, letter A, the deliverance from tribulation. Again, when the rapture comes, we won't go through the tribulation. We'll be up with heaven. We'll be with God. We won't go through the great trouble and suffering. Letter B, deliverance from sickness. We won't have to deal with illness, or our bodies will be perfect. I know there's a couple of us out here that probably has back problems. We have pains, we have aches, we get tired, we get sore. We'll be delivered from sickness. We can see here, let us see, deliverance from death. If you would go to 1 Corinthians, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll be looking at verses 51 through 58 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it says right here, verse 51, it says, "Behold, I shew you a mystery, and shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at last the trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put in incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on their immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not vain in the Lord." We can see here we will be delivered from death. We will live eternally. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death has no control over us. One day we're going to die, but one day when we die, we know we're going to go to heaven. God says death is swallowed up in victory. We won't have to worry. We have a comforting hope that we're going to live for eternally with Jesus Christ. I tell you what, that is comforting just to think about that. Again, we can't comprehend it about living with Jesus Christ for everlasting life, eternally. We're going to be with Him forever, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be a blessing. It's such a comforting hope. Deliverance from death. We can see here, letter D, deliverance from the devil. We will no longer be tested or tricked by the devil. I know there's times I'm not perfect. I've messed up. There's been times I got in trouble at school. The devil, he likes to get into our mind. He likes to trick us. He likes to think, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not a problem. I mean, yeah, sure, they might be buddies since high school, but that one drink with them, they're fine. It's fine. It's all right. You could just do that one thing. I know there's times where I know that, Lord, I know this is wrong, but it's just, I know there's probably people in here that will agree with me. You know it's wrong and you do it, and then afterwards, oh, I wish I never did that. Why'd I do that? We'll be deliverance from the devil. The devil won't be in heaven with us. Again, at the end, we all know what's going to happen to him. Letter D, deliverance from sin. We won't have that sin nature us anymore, that desires to do wrong. Again, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I know I'm not perfect. I know there's going to be times throughout my life that I'm going to mess up. I'm going to sadly do wrong things, but I know that I have a Savior that forgave me from all those. He says, I'm cleansed. We will be deliverance from sin. We won't have that sin nature us anymore. Again, number one, a blessed hope. Number two, a comforting hope. And number three, a purifying hope. If you would turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're looking at verses 2 and 3. And it says right here, 1 John chapter 3, 2 and 3, it says right here, "Beloved, now are they the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. We can see here, God promises that we'll be pure from things. We have a purifying hope. And I got some more points that God will pure us from. We will be pure, letter A, we will be pure from the defilement of this world. If you would, go to 1 John chapter 2, we're just right over the verses 15 and 17. It says right here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We can see here we will be purified from the defilement of this world. Again, this world is so wicked, they want us to do just nothing but wrong. We'll be pure from that defilement of the world. We won't have to deal with it. We won't have to deal with temptations. Again, we'll be a deliverance from sin, deliverance from the devil. We'll be purified from the defilement of the world. We'll be pure from the defilement of the wicked things of this world. We won't have to worry about it. Letter B, we can see pure from the works of the flesh. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. And it says right here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We can see here we will be pure from the works of flesh. Again, that desire to do what's wrong. Again, there's times that I don't always want to do what's right. That's that flesh in me, but I know what I ought to do, and I know what the Lord wants me to do. Again, we have a choice on whether if we want to obey him or not. Again, we will be pure from the works of the flesh. Our flesh won't be tempted to do what's wrong. We won't be manifested. We will be perfect. We won't be tempted. Our flesh won't be tempted. We won't be tempted from the manifest of this world. Let us see. We can see here the pure from the blood of all men. If you would turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to be looking at verses 26 and 27. Acts chapter 20, 26 and verse 27. And it says right here, verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. We can see here we will be pure from the blood of all men. And for example, we can look at Paul here. And Paul can lead people. He can lead them because he had a clear conscience of what God wanted him to do. We could think, Uncle Russ, I could think of you. God gave you a clear conscience on to come here and to be the pastor of Townies Baptist Church. But we could see here as we go to heaven, we will have a clear conscience. We'll be pure from the blood of all men. I love talking about Paul and just his desires and his love just to go out and tell people. He wasn't afraid. I mean, he was chased all over the place. His lives was on the risk multiple times, but he knew what he was doing for the Lord was right. Yeah. Letter D, pure from the wicked friends and habits. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 18. We can see here, verses 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with the unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement hath he, the temple of God, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore I come out among them, and ye be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be the Father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, and saith the Lord Almighty. We can see here we need to be careful of what our friends and the habits that we have. We could see here that God says we'll be pure from that. We could see here in the scripture, God talks about not being unequally yoked. When I think of Savannah and Bryce, you got two people that believe in Jesus Christ that are saved, joining together to serve the Lord. I've heard stories and things where a man, she's so pretty. You know, She might not love you, God, or nor does she serve you, but she's just so pretty. I know I can change her around. I know that she'll love you and she'll serve you. Just let me be with her. I want to marry her because she's just so pretty. And we can see how when that person, they get married, we can see how they end up not even serving the Lord, nor do they even go to church. God says we'll be pure from wicked friends and habits. If you would go to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. It says right here in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says right here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, and planted in the rivers of the water, and bringeth forth his fruit, and in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. We can see here we need to be careful of friends or habits that we pick up, especially young people. They want all these cool friends. I just want to be just like him, even though he does not serve the Lord. But God says we'll be pure from this. God says not to walk with the ungodly. We'll be pure from that, not walk with the ungodly. Because we know that their priority is not serving the Lord. That's not what they care about. They care about the things of this world. Again, we'll be deliverance from the manifest of the world that they love so much. And again, in the past scripture, we can see that God says that ye love the world, does not love the Father. Walk not with the ungodly. We'll be pure from all these things. Number 4, a rewarded hope. If you were to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, you're looking at verses 7 and 8, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. And it says right here, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We can see as long as we keep up the faith, keep serving, don't stop till the Lord comes. We can see that there is a rewarding hope. We know when we get to heaven, the judgment seat of Christ, we know that God's going to give us crowns, but we all know that we're just going to give it right back to him because we know that God deserves all the glory, all the credit. That's right. We don't deserve any of that. We can see here there is a rewarded hope for keeping up the faith. Keep serving. Again, I don't know who's all in ministry or whatever you do in this church, whether it's a Sunday school a teacher or a bus driver or simply just coming in and cleaning up the pews and making sure it's all ready and tidied up for church. Keep up the faith. Keep serving. Don't stop. Again, we're waiting on that blessed hope that the Lord is coming back. God will reward us for being faithful. I want to go to one more verse right here. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It says right here, Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. See, for believers, we have a comforting, a purifying, a blessed, a rewarded hope. But we can see here, for the hopeless, there is no hope. I can think of Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It says, how shall they call them who have not believed? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We can see this world is filled of hopeless people that don't know for sure that they're going to heaven. But as Christians, what are we going to do to go out there and tell them about this? Amen. I was a hopeless case until I got saved because somebody told me about it. But there is no hope for the hopeless. But there is if we go tell them. Yes. Paul was writing that saying, how will they know about Jesus Christ? How will they know about hope that we have? How will they know about heaven and what he did on the cross for us if we don't go out there and tell people? I understand it might be scary. It might be, you might get nervous, but it's worth it. It's worth seeing that young lady, that young man, that person bow their head and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I tell you what, that is the most wonderful thing to see. Now, as I close, I just want to say, to get out there, go tell people. Be a servant. Keep serving. Whatever you're doing, keep serving. If you're a soul winner, keep doing it. If you don't soul win, I encourage you, be a soul winner. But whatever you're doing, keep serving for God, because we know we have hope in Jesus Christ. If you would, please bow your head and close your eyes. If you could say, preacher, I know, without a doubt, I know that if I was to die right now, I know that I would go to heaven. If you would, please raise your hand. Amen. You can see hands all around. If you say, preacher, I don't know if there's hope for me. I don't know if I was to die right now. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. If you don't know, don't be scared. Please raise your hand if you don't know you're going to go to heaven. Amen. If you could say, preacher, please pray for me that I continue serving the Lord, that I know that he's coming for me, that I just keep strong, keep serving him. If you would, just please raise your hand. Amen. Hands all around. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to say thank you for this day, God. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for this wonderful church, these wonderful people, God. God, thank you for the blessed hope that we know that you're coming back for us. Again, just please bless this church. Continue to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.